Wow, you would not believe, guys. Your Front Row with Jackie Roe, and into almost 45 minutes into the audio on Anchor. This is the second time this happened. We were having such a riveting, powerful conversation about, you know, Black lives and things that were very important from the last podcast with my previous interview yesterday with my cousin Goatee Born from Jamaica. And we were just talking about, you know, freedom of speech, expressing some of the things that we thought would be the proper and prior ways to make an effective meaning in a Black situation, such as this Black Lives Matter movement. And, you know, from people listening yesterday, I have a young lady that I've known. She's like a daughter to me. She heard it and she was like, you know, I would love to be on your podcast. And so we were on it for 45 minutes just now. And out of nowhere, I looked at the red thing and it was gone. And then I went to go look and it's gone, unable. And it happened before February 27th. I was in, you know, Florida, and I was interviewing my youngest son, and he was topping it on certain things. And it was just real, you know, powerful. And the whole file disappeared. So I don't know what Anchor's story is. And I'm going to take this further with Anchor, whoever is governing this Anchor thing, or whatever y'all feel is too powerful. You know, why it's not, you know, being recorded when it's something that's, you know, authentic. I don't understand that. But we have a problem, because I have two files that I think were very powerful anchors to go out, and it was not register. But no further ado, you're not going to stop me. I'm going to do it over again. I would like to introduce to you all Hayes. Welcome, Hayes.
Thank you. Welcome and love and, crazy, you know, all of that. Thank you for allowing me to, you know, express myself on your platform. I greatly appreciate it.
Wow. All that footage went out the door. Isn't that crazy? 45 minutes of us talking, and you touched on so many powerful levels on a Black woman. I hope you can remember some of this, because this is...
I can't forget it. This is what we live in every single day. Mm. You know, just to give a little background, I'm a former scammer, you understand? I'm a current biology degree major. I'm also in school studying to become an RN. I'm a healthcare worker. I work with cancer patients. And right now, like, it's just, you know, I'm a single mother, and I'm born and raised Flatbush, you know, born and raised Brooklyn.
Thank you, Harris. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, we were touching on what you heard yesterday with the world, what some of the people heard yesterday on Born, you know, touching on Black Lives Matters and how we're going about it. And you had your own, you know, views and how you think that, you know, things are not being governed the right way as sir per as a woman, a Black woman. You want to elaborate on that again?
Absolutely. Like, as a Black woman, I find it, like, it's a little disheartening for me. I don't know if I'm using the right word, but it feels a little disheartening for me in regards to the whole Black Lives Matter thing. I'm not trying to convince anybody that my sons, my father, my brothers, my nephews, that their lives matter. That's without consequence. Their lives matter. You understand? That ain't even up for debate. You know, and it's like, it's throwing me a little bit off back. I'm like, damn, God, y'all ain't even on your team. We went from Black power and, you know, and all this, you know, I'm Black and I'm proud, to, hey, guys, Black lives matter. We matter too. You know, care about us. Like, that shit is corny. Like, at the end of the day, we need to, as Black people, we need to stand up and stand more firm. You understand? Let's stop begging these people to acknowledge and to recognize us as human beings. You understand? You're right. We're not human beings. We are gods. You understand? Black Kemi guys, we descended from royalty. We are part of the first civilization. You know? I think I had touched on prior to this, mm-hmm, how before, you know, in the oldest human being, or the oldest fossil that was ever found, is a Black woman, Lucy, you know? And she was found in Africa. You understand? So it's like, not only are Black people of the very, very first that was ever created or ever was, but Black women are the very essence and epicenter of anything close to humanity, or, you know, or anything close to a human being, you know? So we are the cradle and the foundation of civilization, you know? So it's mind-boggling that us are sitting here begging other people who came from a mutation, a genetic mutation, to recognize and acknowledge our humanity and our right to be and our right to exist.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there's so much people that are protesting and doing their own thing right now with this whole Black Lives Matters. And you were touching on a female perspective, like you were just flowing. And I you know, like I could tell now it's like a totally different flow. And this is what I hate. Like,
my margarita ran out. That's all. But don't worry, I'm about to refresh it.
Oh, you're who?
My margarita ran out. That's all. I'm refreshing it right now as we speak.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we got to keep the energy going because the way Absolutely. You was giving it up a little while ago, like, it was just so real. I mean, that was going to be a dynamic podcast. You know what I mean? So it's just see.
We still going to get into it.
Well, you know, but to see that it just disappeared out of nowhere, I'm just bugging out. I can't believe it. I'm still
fascinated. Because the powers that be would like to stop energies. You understand? They want to stop certain energies. They would like to stop certain truths from being spoken and, you know, from certain things becoming enlightened. Yeah, you can have some. They would like to start certain things from being enlightened. But the truth of the matter is, what's meant to be is what's meant to be. You understand? And what is written is what it is. And no matter how other people might feel about certain things, one thing with the truth is like a lion. You ain't got to defend that shit. Let that bitch out. It's going to defend its damn self. I'm a lion?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So getting back into the whole mix with everything. Basically, I think one of the main things that we had touched upon was the fact that, you know, the whole Black Lives Matter movement, and like everyone keeps talking about, is there's no real focus, there's no real end game, you understand? There's no real plan of action. Everybody's doing different things, and a lot of people that I know, they have great intentions, right? Mm-hmm. And they have all these ideas about ways that we can try to better ourselves and better our community, and, you know, and rectify the situation without actually recognizing what's at the root of the situation, what's the cause. First and foremost, let's remember how we got here. We were not in Black Americans. Let's be very clear. Y'all didn't come here as an invitation thing. We keep comparing ourselves to Asians. Mm-hmm. And we keep comparing ourselves to, you know, other ethnic groups that came and happened to be in this country. But at the end of the day, we didn't come here like they did on the premise of looking for a better life. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Black Americans, y'all came here as hostages, as prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Y'all came here. Y'all was stolen from your country and dragged over here like cattle. Like, how did this bring sheep to come and be slaughtered and to, you know, to be meat or to do other little work? Y'all were brought and savagely brought here as beasts of burden.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Nothing else. Y'all were cattle. So it's mind-boggling that you expect people that brought you here and considered you nothing more than cattle to ever respect you or to ever treat you equally. Or to think that when they was writing their laws, you got laws and rules in your house. You buy a dog. That shit don't apply to your dog. That shit don't apply to your goldfish. You were never considered human beings. So stop expecting their laws and their rights and their liberties to apply to you. Treat the situation accordingly. This is a hostage situation. This is not something, we weren't invited here. We didn't come here on our, Black Americans, y'all didn't come here on your own accord. And it's mind-boggling that y'all think that their constitutions and their rights apply to you. That shit don't apply to you. Nevertheless, they're going to have to respect you in this bitch. You know? A lot of us keep on, we forget that. We act like we came here on a Carnival cruise. Nah, nigga, you was born here at gunpoint, dragged, snatched away from your family, brought across here, made to breed with whoever, raped, but like these men forget that. All the trauma that we went through, is like, I guess in order to cope and to grow past it, they had to forget what they went through. But in the back of their minds, never forget. Never forget in no ways. You weren't brought here on no friendly terms. You understand? You came here as a prisoner. You came here to be slaves. You came here to be workers. You were beasts of burden. That's how you ended up in this country. You understand? And because of the resilience and because of your creativity, because of the ingenuity of Black people, naturally, you made it. You survived. You understand? And you somehow figured out a way to make this foreign land, your foreign country, your home. You understand?
Mm.
Despite everything else, you somehow made a way to survive and created your own sense of culture and your own space as much as you could or as much as they would allow you to. But as far as that whole Black Lives Matter shit, nah, stop kneeling. Stop begging these people for a chance. Stop begging them for opportunity. Stop begging them for equal rights.
Mm. We went from Black Lives Matters to Black Power.
Yeah. In a matter of a few generations.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You were saying. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You got the lighter. I don't know if it's... I don't know if it was, you know, the effects of the, whatchamacallit, the lighter. I don't know if it's the effects of, you know, crack epidemic in the 80s, or I don't know if it's, you know, has to do with the Reagan-Bush administration and all the Rockefeller drug laws and how they was putting all of our fathers and our black leaders in prison for minor drug offenses. I don't know if it's that, they crushed it, but I know we went from the 1970s with Clarence Thomas the 13th and the Nation of God, and, you know, and believing that the black man is God and the black woman is the earth, and, you know, and the understanding and knowledge and all of this wealth of pride within ourselves as black people, to now just begging people them to respect us and admit that we matter. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
How the tables turned.
Exactly. And on top of that, to make matters, like, you know, worse, is we keep trying to fight this shit on economic standpoints, and we keep trying to fight it. And I, you know, I respect it. I got a homeboy right now. He's organizing groups with black businesses and trying to figure out how to help black businesses get more exposure and, you know, support black business and all that. And that's cool. You understand that I have, like, everyone's trying to fight it on their own way. But I realize the main way, the only way that we're going to be able to combat the situation is by love. Mm. It comes from loving ourselves, love within ourselves.
Again.
Love.
Is the only way.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, we got to start back loving ourselves and loving each other, you know? Mm-hmm. And it starts with, and I keep saying this over and over again, and, like, I don't want, you know, I know a lot of guys are going to be like, oh, she on that feminist shit, but no, it starts with black men supporting black women. We need our black men to start loving our black women again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Truly, genuinely, and deeply loving us, mm-hmm. protecting us. Supporting us.
And like I was saying, when you were saying that, I said, you know, I come from an era where I was taught in the 80s that the black man is our, you know, is if I'm in a relationship, my black man, I have to follow his lead, because, you know, we as women, you know what I'm saying, to the black man is like, you know, we are the wound to him, you know what I mean? And we got to always remember that we have to follow their lead, you know what I mean? So we need good leaders, you know what I mean? And I was telling you about the podcast that I did a couple months ago in February with 19 Keys and Blue Pill, and we were going in about relationships, you know, because some of these girls get it twisted. They think that they got to take care of dudes. Now, when I come, where I was brought up, it's a dude taking care of me, you know, dude courting me, opening the door, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Making sure that I stay in school, teaching me things to do the right things, and, you know, teaching me how to be a woman, you know what I mean? Like, leading me down to those directions and those paths so I can have knowledge of self of how to be a woman, you know what I mean? And they are the leaders, you know, the men's is always leading, you know? I be bugging out, like I said, I go to, you know, restaurants with people when I was back in the days, and I'm seeing them go in their pocket. They said, no, when you go out with men's, you never pay for a bill. You know what I'm saying? That's just courtmanship. You know what I'm saying? A man back then from the 80s, they lead. They would tell you, don't do what I do because I'm a man. You know what I'm saying? You follow my lead. So those are the things that are instilled in me when I was growing up. So I don't know how to take care of a man. I don't know how to, you know, like, you know, make a man feel like a man, because I'm not a man. You understand? I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So these are the things that women need to understand. The young girls need to get it in their head. Like, you got to have a strong man. If you're doing anything besides building up a man to be a strong man, then you got to stop it. You can't sit there and take care of your man. You can't take care of him. He has to take
Jackie,
care of
this
you.
This is why I love you. And I'm going to give a little background. You literally was like a mom for me for many years. And you, a lot of the things, a lot of knowledge I have when it comes to business and just, you know, being a woman and being a woman that's a boss, mm-hmm. I learned it from you.
Oh,
and one of the things that, no, I appreciate you very much. And I'm going to piggyback on that, because one of the things that you taught me a lot, and one of the things that I want to touch on is, one, black women, we got to be our brother's keeper and we got to be our sister's keeper.
Absolutely.
It's our responsibility, each and every single one of us, to pick up another black sibling. You picked me up and I am who I am today thanks to women like you. You understand?
Absolutely, yes.
Right.
And I think we need to stop it. We need to, like, let people know. And I want to put a cork in that real quick, because a lot of people don't know your story, because we're going straight into the, you know, the government of the black lives and black woman thing, you know, because, you know, Born had us riveting yesterday. So everybody's like, yo, I want to talk.
I got literally 3 text messages, one from my homegirl who's from down south, and I had just put her on about your podcast and she loves it. But when she heard that, she was like, he said the federal buildings. I'm like, girl, please. She was like, who this man is? I was like, no.
Well, like I said, it's freedom of speech. Yeah. I hope the federales don't think we really meant that, but he was just emphasizing on how he felt and how to make effective, you know, structures on the, you know, this whole Black Lives Matters movement. We got to do things, not to say that we need to per se burn down a place, but he was just using an analogy of, you know, saying that. So let's clear that up, because we don't want the people to think we're inciting riots or anything like that. But it is freedom of speech.
No,
not you, but just to clear it up, good thing you brought that up. You know, I let people allow people to speak and speak freely on my podcast, because I think when I think about the internet, I think it's a open wave of speaking. There's no citations. There's no, you know, clause on what to say. So it's air. So you speak on how you feel. I'm hoping that there isn't any issues that I don't know about, but I allow people to express their feelings. And going back to you, I would like for you to let people know just a little bit, because you start off by saying that you were, you know, a hustler, you know, scammer, da da da. But tell them how you turned your life around, because I think it's more important. And then when you finish dynamically detonating that bomb on how you turned your life around when you came out, how many times you went to jail, and how many when you came out this last time, when you said, when I talked to you that last time and I said, Sheena, it's time for you to stop. You know what I mean? Because like I said, I didn't never have any really no woman in my ear growing up besides my mother, and I was hard-headed and I was a troublesome child, and I gave my mother havoc.
Aquarius.
So yeah, Aquarius, stubborn-headed. So, you know, my mother was my Iman. She was my teacher. I just wasn't listening. But I didn't have no one else outside the skirts to talk to me like I do a lot of these young girls and young boys. I've always been a nurturer. So I've always been a woman that passes my baton on to others to try help to enlighten them to be better than what they were the day and yesterday and other days before, looking forward to their futures. So when she came out the last time, I've always spoken to her every time she did a bid. And I said, this time, Sheena, you have to get your shit together. There's no more looking back. You can't go back and pick up the past. The past is only here to help you to become better. Don't ever be ashamed of your past. And remember I said that to you? Because I think a lot of people are ashamed of their past. And I tell all of my girlfriends that's bougie, high corporate America, whatever the fuck, I was like, your past didn't make you, you wouldn't be sitting in that office today. You understand me? However you about to fix the thing so they don't find out what you did in your past, more kudos to you. But the simple fact that you are sitting in a corporate building and you are doing six figures and you are who you are today, in an office, in a bank, whatever, you came from the streets, you hustled, you did everything, whatever means necessary to survive. You should never be a proud of your fucking past, because your past is your past and it made you who you are today in your future. So I said these words in so much ways to Sheena, this young lady that's on the phone, on the interview right now. And I said to her, you know, don't be, and she said, Miss Jackie, I was so embarrassed. And I said, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. You did what you had to do by no means. Miss, you know, this young lady went on 3 to 6 months, went and got her. Look, you tell them. Oh my God. You tell them the story. Mm.
Thank you. I'm mad emotional right now. I don't know if it's the weed or the liquor, but you know, It's spirits. I'm on a spiritual quest. But
I feel it for you, because I watched you. As I was watching you, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe. When I saw you with your cap and gown, I said, cum laude, oh my fucking God. She graduated. Like, you blew my mind. I get chills right now running through my body. You know what I'm saying? Because you listened. You listened. And that's what I tell, even in my consulting, people ask me for my advice. Don't waste my time, because your money don't mean nothing to me. If my education of what I went through as a life experience, walking, living person can't help you, then I'm useless to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you can pay me for my time, because my time is money and money is my time. But I really value what I'm telling you more than anything as a consultant. As a personal and as a business consultant, I tell this to everybody because I have experienced this. And if I can't share that to resonate in somebody, then I'm useless. You know what I mean? So you listened. And that's what I like. A lot of my clients that listens, they are very successful. And you weren't my client. You're like a daughter to me. But you look at you now. Please embark and enlighten me.
I got it for free, thankfully, you know, because it's just, Prince has always been, like, you know, for years, like, Prince has been, like, the big brother I never had. I'm the oldest out of three. I got two wild, crazy younger brothers, you know, they crazy. My little brother B, oh my God, he's crazy. But, So it was like being a big sister to them. And then I was out there, I was loose. I used to think I was one of the boys, you know? Like, one of my favorite things I could say is I'm Tupac with a twat. Call me Tupacalypse. I was always wanting to be one of the boys. But it's like, Clem, he embraced me. And he showed me genuine, honest for God love. He didn't look at me like how a lot of guys look at me, like for my body or for my beauty. He looked at me and he
told me. Can you talk a little clearer in the phone?
Sorry.
Yeah.
I said, he didn't look at me for my body or for my looks or for any of that.
It went low again.
This is better?
Much better.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't look at me physically. He looked at me and he saw my spirit. He said, yo, you're talented. He was like, you're a smart girl. You're talented. He was like, I want to see you win. And he took on a brother, you know, an older brother protective role over me.
Yes.
But when he realized he was, you know, he literally had picked up a little sister that was a badass that was out there just crazy, you know. And I got into a lot of trouble. I did two state bids and, you know, went through a lot in that process. And I just remember the second time I came home, I felt lost, you know, like most people do. Mm-hmm. And I went to Miss Rowe. I call her Miss Rowe with my little lisp teeth that I got, Miss Rowe. Struggling to say my R's. But, you know, she sat down and she talked to me. And she basically just let me know, like, you know, like, you're getting too old for this shit. You did it. You was the best at it when you did it. Now do something else. What else can you do? Like, she challenged me. I don't even think she remembers that, but I remember it. She challenged me. And one thing's with, Aquarius, we don't take challenges lightly. If you challenge us, we're going to meet the challenge and we're going to succumb that.
Yeah,
we're going to surpass.
So devil daring.
Right. So I was like, okay, I don't know what else is out there for me, but at this point, I've done two bids. You understand? The worst two things in life is death and jail. I've survived one of them. What else is out there for me? What else can I conquer? What else can I do? And I had an aunt and she kept pushing me. She was like, go to college. That shit easy. And I was like, I ain't really got time for that right now. I got to get money right quick. Long story short, I got pregnant and I have my son. And that's when I realized it was really over for me. I was like, I don't want my son having a mother that goes to jail, you know, or is in prison and is not there to be present for him. Because being locked up, I saw a lot of mothers that weren't able to be present with their children. Mm-hmm. And too many black and brown babies is growing up without parents, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I did it, you know, I mostly did it for him. You know, and every I went to school, I was pregnant. I was 7 months pregnant when I enrolled in CUNY, you know, CUNY Mega Evers College.
Mm-hmm.
And big belly showing. I had my son. 3 weeks later, went right back to school. Also started working at Applebee's. Side note, I'm a scammer. I used to be a big scammer. You understand? I used to go eating Tao's, Cipriani's, you name a spot, and I ate there. So for me now to be a waitress at Applebee's, it was embarrassing. I had to learn. I had to humble myself. You know?
Humility.
But I had an outgoal. Yeah. But I know I had an outgoal and I had an end game. My end game was like, I'm, you know, something great is going to come from this, you know? My son is going to live good. My son is going to be proud. He has a mother that's a young, educated black woman. You understand? And I can't tell my son at the end of the day, yo, you want to go on the street? You want to do street shit? I could put you on with that. You want to talk about school shit? You want to talk about business shit? I could put you on with that too. You understand? He has a mother who is like Miss Rowe, who is very well diverse, a very educated, very smart woman, a boss, you know? So long and long, I went through it, you know, I went through postpartum depression, I went through domestic violence, I went through every single thing, but at the end of the day, I just said I have to keep doing what I'm doing because the outcome is going to be greater. Long story short, I graduated with a biology degree.
Say that again.
Graduated with a degree of biology.
That's right. Congratulations. That's right.
Thank you. And the same person that got locked up and I wasn't even allowed to have a checking account until a year before, a couple months later, I'm now working in an accounting company for one of the biggest production companies.
Woo.
Same nigga that used to get locked up for making checks, I'm now being paid to cut and print checks.
All right. Hallelujah. Yes, so, girl.
Right. So it's like, and it felt good, you know? And I Yeah, I give all praises to the Most High God. And one thing that I got from you, and I thank you so much, is the same jewels and everything that you imparted on me. Mm-hmm. I took that and I passed it on. I have a young lady that I'm mentoring, I'm talking to, and I'm working with, you know, and I'm
good
trying to help
you. Absolutely. Good for you. That's what it's thank about. You. Pass that baton. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And that's like, I think, the whole focus and the whole point on Black Lives, you know, on why I have an issue with the Black Lives Matter thing. Like, as Black people, we're not sitting there upholding our brother by trying to get other people to acknowledge that he matters. You understand? Mm-hmm. As Black people, the only way that we're going to combat this whole situation that was birthed out of hate is through love. We got to start loving each other. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. We got to start calling each other, hey, bro, you ate? I just cooked. What mm-hmm. you mean? Come through, mm-hmm. I got you. You understand? Mm-hmm. We got to start calling our homegirls instead of sitting there like, oh, she dirty, she trash. Because mm-hmm. I know I had a lot of people that did that to me. That's like, mm-hmm. oh, she trash. She just a scammer. She just a jailbird. You understand? Mm-hmm. We got to start sitting there and reaching out to her like, yo, what's good? Yo, you want to try this? Yo, mm-hmm. I think you'll be good at that. You want to open up this business? Let me support that. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. Like, we got to start showing love to each other. Like, you know, you got kids. I'm home all day. I know that you work and you're a single mom. Yo, I watch your babies for you. It's two more kids on top of my three.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We got to start living like a village and living good and living with love with each other.
Yes.
But before we can even get there, we got to start loving and appreciating ourselves. And that comes from remembering who the fuck we are.
That's right.
We got to remember who we are.
That's right. Knowledge yourself. And before Absolutely. You can, and before you can even, you know, do that, I want you to let people know how you basically, when you got your apartment, remember when you called me and you got your apartment, you was like, I want to get my apartment, because first you were pregnant, then you graduated, you went to school and you graduated with your, you know, being pregnant, everything. Then you called me, it's like, Miss Rowe, I got to get out my mom's house. I said, well, you can do it, Hayes. You can do it. And then you called me and you got your place, and I was so proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah, how I even got the apartment is just, it was crazy, you know, like I was in my last semester of school, you know, my mother was going through whatever she was going through. She gave up our home. She moved out of state. I moved in with my son's father, ended up into a horrible, see, before everybody falls, you understand? Mm-hmm. Got about to fall to get back. Went through domestic violence issues with him, you know, just lost, going through it. But no matter what, going through it and pushing past it, mm-hmm. you know? Having strong people telling me, I got this and I could do this, and you know, go ahead and do what you got to do. And I went through PATH, I went through the shelter system. I'm keeping 100 with y'all. We be judging and talking about females to do that shit. The ones who do it and get through with it, don't judge your women because they really needed it, you know, because it's hard as shit to get. They ain't get my ass shit. Mm-hmm. I'm being honest with you, you know, but I save and I stash, and then by the grace of God, you know, a friend of my mom's from Trinidad, she owned property and stuff, and she looked out and she helped me get into the apartment that I'm in right now. Understand, where I have room for my son, I live comfortable, drink my little margaritas in the morning, you know, smoke my little herb, go to work, relax and vibe. I have a safe, stable home to raise my son in. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you just have to, like I said, it takes a village, you know? It takes a village, and it's going to take love. You know, anything is possible through love. And everything that we do, as far as this Black movement, as far as any emancipation or progress for our people, it has to come from a place of love first. Mm-hmm. We got to learn how to start loving ourselves, investing in ourselves. Watch what we're putting into our own bodies. You understand? We sit there and, you know, you and I had touched on this earlier, and we be going crazy once white people bake some shit up. Let Whole Foods start selling avocados. All of a sudden, we want to buy avocados. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. avocados with our macaroni and cheese and Kalaloo and shit on a Sunday. A little slice of avocado.
But our family instilled it in us forever, but we weren't paying attention. Like, just
right.
about everything.
Like,
we have everything in our backyard. But other people come and they, you know, they celebrate what we have in our backyard, but we don't never celebrate what we have in our backyards. You know what I mean? So other people celebrate it for us. And like, you know, she was saying, it's like another podcast I did with Dr. Sabi's wife, you know, Mama Pill at the time. And, you know, I'm doing a podcast with her, and she's talking about all of this West Indian culture stuff. And I'm going, that's how I was brought up, because I'm West Indian grown. I'm like, that's what my mother would have us detox every Saturday morning. And so that's what Dr. Sabi instilled in some of his, you know, lessons, and eating the foods that we know, soursop, sea moss, all those things are things that West Indian cultures are governed on. We take pride in it, but then we lose it because we come to America and we don't follow our same tradition. You know what I mean? We let the government of the governors govern our lives and we follow it. That's why I said we got to stop being followers and being leaders of our own paths. You know what I'm saying? So that's what she was saying. Like, you know, after you really rationalize the situation, you'd be like, wait a minute. I'm West Indian. That's stuff that we eat already. That's all Dr. Sabi. I mean, coming from Honduras as part of the West Indies, he saw the natural fruits and the herbs that was good for us, and he started putting it out there, and he showed how the trickle effect could have actually reversed certain processes and the healing of certain disease that made us very diseased, you know what I mean? And he had proven factual that they really cured, you know what I mean? And so that's like another podcast, but yeah, you know, knowing your history and knowing knowledge of yourself is so important to understand who we are as a culture. That's what she was basically Absolutely. Trying to say. Mm-hmm. But get back on the black girl thing. You were talking about the black woman. That was so deep because I would hate for this goddamn podcast to cut off again. I swear to God, I will find Anchor's office and you don't want to deal with me, goddamn it. Because I don't know what the fuck is wrong with y'all when we doing these great podcasts and you want to cut my shit off. Like, you really got me thinking right now because I'm still mad about the one that we just did an hour ago. I'm like, damn, I had to do the whole shit over just to let this girl, you know, this young lady's voice be heard, because you were topping and really hitting on certain things that people need to hear coming from a young girl like you. Because like I said, it's great to hear the younger generation embark and, you know, talk about things that we as older people, you know, talk about, that people might think we're at an age where, you know, that's where they at right now in their life, so that's what they know. No, I want you to know that there's other young girls out there that's out there just speaking and feeling the same thing, but no, don't have an outlet or a voice to, you know, to be heard. So here's the platform. Talk your shit.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Talk your shit.
No. Talk my shit. Listen, it's, put it like this, right? Sorry, I gotta go get my thing. Basically, it's like this. Like what you touched on also about the black men and black women and the whole support issue, is that's 110% right. See, the whole thing is the way the system is set up. Like, I don't know if I addressed this in this podcast or we said it before, but right now, black women is in a rare state. We in rare form. Mm-hmm. We comprise a vast majority or one of the highest percentages right now in this country. Black women are the most educated. The most educated.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They not letting us run the companies, but we the ones moving their companies.
It's always been like that. If you look at any type of form of any type of business, even going way back then, who's always been the assistant? A black woman is always the assistant. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to put her in power to make her be the CEO. They always wanted to deplete us and belittle us and put us in situation where we either are servants in some way or we are assistant. We are not the people that's governing the whole situation. So we got to get our minds out of the gutter and understand who we are and start moving, like I said, with black powers, you know what I'm saying, and the powers that we have and who we are. I'm not here trying to be a revolutionist or nothing. I'm just trying to encourage. If we're going to do something right, like I asked that question on Facebook, who are leading us? Who is our leaders? Where are our leaders? Like, I want to be led by someone that has knowledge.
I'm glad you said that. You just reminded me exactly what we were talking about. I'm glad you said that. Mm-hmm. You're right. Who are our leaders? You understand? Right now, like I said, the black women, we compromise the, you know, the highest percentage is the most educated group in this country right now. You understand? And for black men who have been emasculated by this society, by this American culture, you understand? For black men that have been so outrightly abused, they now feel defensive towards their black women, and they now have a lot of, like, and I know a lot of dudes gonna be like, oh hell nah, she talking crazy, but it's the truth. A lot of black men, they look at us, instead of looking at us like they allies, they look at us like they're competition.
Yeah, they're rival.
Right, and they're rival. Mm-hmm. Instead of embracing us and loving us and being like, this is my woman, this is my lieutenant, this is my commander in chief. Mm-hmm. You understand? And look at how damn strong and powerful she is. Mm-hmm. They look at us like, oh no, I gotta calm this bitch down. You know? Mm-hmm. She doing too much. I'm already taking shit from the
men. Metrosexual. metrosexual guys. And that's why you got to pick, you got to look. And then it's hard to kind of, you know, find the right man because they wear so many sheeps and wool clothing.
Right.
And that's where a lot of the domestic abuse comes
from.
And I
keep trying to explain to every guy I date. And I'm trying to, even as a hustler, I notice that. I'll be sitting there, I'll be like, yo, dude, I'm supporting you. You understand? I'm putting you on with a hustle. I'm making your hustle make sense and make you more money and everything
making
else.
Making you more sexy.
And yet it's still you somehow feeling some kind of way about me, or you're feeling some kind of negativity or jealousy towards me.
Because he has insecure within himself.
I noticed with black men who are similar, same positions as me, they will look at me as competition instead of just being proud. Like, look at my sister doing her thing.
Girl,
you understand?
That was a whole podcast that I did months ago in February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what a lot of black men don't realize is, and I'm just speaking for myself and the sisters that I speak with, I know, we want you to be the leaders. I don't want my son seeing no example of a weak man. We mm-hmm. want black men to lead, you understand?
Right. Mm-hmm.
We want black men to take their rightful positions in this world and in our lives and in our homes and with our families, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is, motherfucker, lead.
That's right.
Lead
by example, though. Lead
right.
by example.
Exactly. You are the head. A man is the head. I'm not one of the women where I feel like, oh, we have equal. No, I'm not equal to my man. If I'm equal to my man, then he is a bitch.
That's right.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it so bluntly, but
I don't hate to say it is what it is. Call a spade and a heart a heart. It is what it is. That's right. We want strong black men. Let me tell you now, because you're touching on something that I have a problem with. Because of who I am. I always had a problem with men. Do you understand me? Growing up, that's why I stay far away from them. I always kept them away from me with my aggressiveness. I letting them know, don't come over here and don't fuck with me because I'm not the one. I'm not your herb, motherfucker, and I'm not your herb. You understand me? So you don't want to fuck with me. If you're not going to come correct, don't come at all, because I always had that presence about me. And I wasn't no big bitch. I was a very petite, pretty fucking badass chick when I was young. I wasn't, people only called me,
you was my size, probably about 2 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. People wouldn't even believe that I was so skinny. And people always equate
me. We were very little, but just with big personalities.
Exactly. So I just wanted to embark on that, because I always get this over and over and over. Everybody think this big Jackie mean that I was a big person. No, that was a little Jackie. That's why they called me Big Jackie. That's the only reason, you know what I mean? But me being who I was a very dominated type of a chick, because I had my own hurdles growing up as a young girl, losing my dad at a young age, you know what I'm saying? Being very rebellious, you know what I mean? Just angry at the world, never understanding what really life and death was about. But my whole thing was, even when I wanted love, I went and found love in all the wrong places. Cause I used to be a hustler. I loved to, you know, I started just going out there stealing shit because I loved the comfort of it. It made me feel good stealing something. It's crazy, but that was my life. I love the smell of new clothes, silk. I love the smell of new pocketbook, new shoes. It gave me a high. It made me feel good. So I couldn't have one of anything. I have 12 of everything. I had one of, I had 12 colors of everything. So it became obsessive, you know, because I was yearning for some love that I didn't understand where to get it from. So that's what led me in my street life. You understand me? The love of fashion, the love of just having something to hold and making me feel good. But then in the other side of me, the Millie Carney, was like, hey, I am who I am, but I'm no in no form of a sucker. You understand me? Like, I don't like sucker shit. I don't like sucker mentality. I don't like sucker niggers. I don't like sucker people. You know what I mean? My heart is good. It's pure. I'm a very loving, kindred woman. But at the same time, you're going to get the wrath of who I am. I'm a realist. You know what I'm saying? I can't see shit and not call it right there. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow to tell you how I feel. I'm going to voice my opinion right there. That's just who I am. You know what I mean? That's how I was. Whatever I ran to the streets in 1980, 1973, that's what made me. Whatever I found out there during those times, it made me who I am today. Hardcore. But I'm a woman, though. I'm still a loving woman. If I have the right men to curate me, you know what I'm saying? A polished man that know how to not to deal with me and cultivate me and show me and step me through the right ways. Now, I did have a couple of them, but I was being rebellious again. I wasn't listening. I was being a hard ass. You know what I mean? I'm not going to front. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you're young and you're bad, you just don't listen. You're just a fucking hard head. So, I had my share of that. But I had some good men's in my life. I had men's that bought me houses when I didn't even know, and I was damn near 18 years old, bought me Miami house, Coconut Grove. I mean, bought me houses in Miami and Coconut Grove. And I looked at this nigga like, you crazy? Like, ew. Like, I had so many offers in my life, but me being so rebellious, not knowing what love really looked it like or understanding what love was, I didn't see it. So I say that to say, I hate a dude that come to me to say that they're intimidated by me. If you're intimidated by me, you are not a man. You are a weakling. Absolutely. Because I am a woman. It doesn't matter how hard I come off, how hard my presence is, how many people I know, how many clout I might have. It still means that at the end of the day, I am a woman. All I'm looking for is a real strong man. You understand me? A man that know how to deal with me and talk to me and show me the courtesy of being the betterness of the better woman. Yeah. Not let me explain it. It's showing me how to be better than I was yesterday in the form of being a woman. You understand me? A young lady. I passed the young lady stage, but a young lady is not who I am anymore. I am a woman. You understand? A grown woman that needs, it doesn't matter. Age is just a number. If you're a young man that you feel that you got a life experience, that you feel like you got an education of a 90-year-old man, and you still young, you in your 40s or your whatever 30s, and you can, you know, say that you got experience. If you come correct, hey, you never freaking know. I don't dispute nothing. So people that want to talk about, oh, you know, you like young, but no, I like a nigga that love his motherfucking self. It don't fucking matter to me what shame of fucking form or what number he is. If a nigga is sure of himself, that's what turns me on. I like confidence. I like a confidence man. I like confident people. So that's what I am talking about. And I think that's what the sister's saying too. We need more confident black men that's going to govern and understand who they are and know how to use their power. Not egotistically. We want to use their power powerfully, not egotistically. Use your power in the right form and lead. Lead us down the right path if you're going to lead. That's what a black man to me is. You understand me? Period. Continue, sweetheart.
You hit it on the nail, but that's the absolute whole, you know, that's the absolute whole story, and that's the absolute whole truth. You're trying to, I need a man, or we have to start creating and building more men that are capable of leading a woman that's going to lead a nation, because one of our daughters is probably going to end up leading this nation. I have a young black son. I have a little boy. He's black, you understand? And every single day.
And his life matters.
It does matter. It more than matters. My son is the reason why everything is existing today. You understand? Mm-hmm. I let him know every single day, you descended from black kings. You descended from gods. You understand? You not come here to beg nothing from nobody. You understand? You come from a royal heritage, and you have a royal inheritance.
The blood.
Exactly. I let him know, I'm like, your mother ain't no joke. You understand? Your mother's a tiger. Your mother's not with the shits, you know? Mm-hmm. Your mother's a woman that will one day eventually lead a nation. You understand?
That's right. So you got to think that you can believe it. You have to, if you can believe it, you can achieve it. Yes, put it out there.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's right.
Absolutely. And I told my son, I said, you have to move like the son of the woman who's going to change the world. Mm. You understand? Mm-hmm. You can't be sitting here begging nobody for a right to live. You shouldn't sit here and talk about you begging somebody for your next breath. You understand? Mm. You fear God, you never fear man. You understand?
That's right.
Only competition that you have, and only thing that's ever supposed to make you feel any kind of way, is the dude in the mirror. That dude in the mirror looking back at you should always make you feel uncomfortable and want to grow and want to stretch and want to expand. That's your only true competition, to be better than the person looking back at you in your reflection. You know? And that comes from instilling, like I keep saying, you know, throughout this podcast, that it comes from instilling love. Mm-hmm. That comes from instilling that into my son every single day, letting him know your skin is beautiful. Look at how your skin changes colors when it touches the sun. Mm-hmm. You know? Your nose is strong. It's powerful. You understand? And showing him the statues of the Greeks and how their noses were just so, their nostrils were flaring and look prominent. I'm like, look at how beautiful your structure is. Mm-hmm. You know? Look at how strong you are. I let him know, my baby father, Haitian, I let him know, you know what kind of blood you come from? Mm-hmm. You know, I teach him about his culture. Your people never bended on no knee and begged nobody to let them breathe. I said, your people never sat there and talked about their life matter and pleaded with the oppressor. I said, you come from Haitian diaspora. You came from Haitian dynasty, mm-hmm. sweetheart. Mm-hmm. They wasn't playing. They took, they killed every single one of them Frenchmen then on that island. They wasn't playing. They wasn't with the shits. Mm. And so I said, I feel blood. That's why I said, your mother's Guyanese and Trinidadian. You understand? I said, you come from black people and who live in the bush in Guyana. Keep it 100, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I said, at the end of the day, you have nothing but warrior blood on both sides. That's you ain't come here to play truth and nobody. You can't get to conquer. While you in this country, take every single thing that you can get. Get your education, get your money, save up, stack up. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And then take that back and bring that back and build with your people.
Yeah,
build with your people.
I think we were talking about, we touched on the whole thing too about who black men's kind of like immortalized, not immortalized, who they worship was Kim, you know, Kim K. And we were saying that we love her. We don't take nothing from her, but you know what I'm saying? Like you had touched.
Oh yeah, no. And that's another thing too. Like I said, it goes piggyback onto black men supporting us and, you know, and just, you know, showing us, you know, love and whatever like that also. Cause it's like what they fail to realize is we weren't even allowed to consider a standard of beauty until we, whatchamacallit, until we basically, and it got me real pissed off when I thought about it.
You gotta stop whatever is in the background making noise.
Oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I said we weren't even considered a standard of beauty. We didn't even have, like, if you think about it, and this shit is so crazy, it took an Armenian woman. I think this is what I said. It took an Armenian woman, right?